What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures did lose their gains after that PPI data didn't quite give us the five handle on year-on-year core we were looking for, up 6.2. Question now is whether bulls worry about CPI next week. 10-year, as Becky said, 3.5. Plenty of earnings to review. Our roadmap begins with the latest read on inflation, coming in hotter than expected, likely complicating the Fed's rate hike policy expectations.
Plus, back in the antitrust hot seat, the FTC is suing to block Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. And shares of Lululemon are under pressure this morning. This is the retailer offers weak holiday quarter guidance. CEO Calvin McDonald will join us exclusively in just a few minutes.
Let's begin with that hotter than expected for November PPI number, Jim. A lot of it blamed on some services in the financial business, margin loan rates, things like that.
Yeah, look, I mean, if you're going to try to slow down spend, if you're going to try to keep people from doing things that are speculative, well, what do? You charge more financial services. I mean, this is one that's kind of counterintuitive. And I think that maybe this index needs to be a little bit more sharp. Because you want to raise margin rates, David, because you don't want people to create their own money.
Okay.
That's what you're... All right, then I'll switch, because he obviously is not taking the bait at all. One of the things here, processed foods, okay, and feeds advanced 0.7%. Well, all right, so there's a company that has 100 million people who belong to it. It's called Costco. And those went down. Foods went down. Yes, it's entirely possible that this index has got something going, but I would rather trust Rich Galante, who said that corn, flour, sugar, butter, and steak are all lower.
But a 38% jump in fresh and dry vegetables?
Well, but I just gave you...
Yeah, you did. And then chicken and meats, but...
Chicken's already down, you know that, particularly
right.
Wings. But he says meat is down. Mm-hmm. Costco says meat is down. Who do you trust? Chickens are down. Who do you trust? Do you trust this news release from the Labor Bureau, or do you trust Rich Galante, who probably serves more food than anybody in the country?
Kind of last yesterday's similar conversation at the same time. Who do you trust, the bank CEOs, or, I mean, you were saying the same thing.
I got a lot of bad heat.
You're having some trust issues.
I want to apologize to Jamie Dimon. I got a lot of bad heat. People say he won't come on my show, so I apologize.
But you're having some trust issues, I think.
No, I just like companies that have data that is from the companies that we talk about in tech, that is up to the minute that morning, as opposed to something that is processed over, like as if we've never heard of the cloud. I'm listening to Rich Galante last night, giving numbers as of last night, and I trust them more than I trust this news release.
Yeah,
and so should you.
We're going to get to what Broadcom certainly said and what Ciena said earlier in the week, sort of totally going against the narrative, at least regarding tech, right?
The Broadcom was, I mean, it was like happy days are here again. Now, Hock Tan is someone, as David knows, is very tough, but he also tells a very positive narrative. He's never really said any negative about his own business.
Rarely.
But
he's always been focused on cutting costs.
But,
like, he's
but
a guy who, you know, doesn't but, take a potential recession for him to be focused.
Semiconductor solutions up 26%, wireless plus 13%, all the hypercomputing, you know, cloud up terrifically. Gross margins went up 110 bips. He's fully booked for almost everything involving hyperscale. It was one of those calls that was, wow, Hock should be here. I usually hear from Hock. I didn't hear from Hock.
Pretty amazing. We talked to multiple CIOs at the largest enterprise customers we have. We have not seen them talk about a reduction in their IT spend.
I thought that was an amazing conference call. And it does call into question a lot of the negativity that I hear from a lot of business people. Because, you may think Hock Tan is a tough guy. Remember, the VM is not closed yet. But, David, I got to tell you, after reading Broadcom, I said maybe some other companies aren't doing as well. Maybe that's what's happening.
What would account for that, though?
He's got good product and he's got low price and he's tough.
Good product, low price.
Usually has the product that's basically the monopoly product.
Ah, speaking of monopolies, it gets us to our next story, which of course, late yesterday, Microsoft's deal to acquire.
I have a wrap on that you'll love.
Activision.
So go ahead.
I'm going to go through a few things here because I do want people to understand sort of what really is going on in the playing field, particularly from an investor perspective. But of course, as you probably are aware, the FTC taking action to stop that deal in a complaint filed with an administrative law judge. And we'll get to that in a minute because it is a bit different, although it is not necessarily of great importance. A few things to share here. In speaking to as many people as I could about the complaint itself, most are unimpressed. Unimpressed with the arguments being made in the complaint by the government at this point. There's no economic data to support their contention. There's nothing, no economic analysis. It's Microsoft may do that, or they could do this. No real supportive proof or evidence at this point. Doesn't mean the government won't come up with some, but at this point, many, at least who've read this complaint, are unimpressed, let's call it, and don't believe the FTC will win. As a result, they define, for example, a high-end market, a high-end gaming market. They leave Nintendo out. They just said, okay, it's just PlayStation and Xbox in this high-end gaming market. But there are many different components of, or the lack of argument, at least cited by those who are students of these things. Again, these can go over time. Yes.
I'm a student.
Yes.
Okay. I know that something called Tide House Rules, federal law. 1934, coming out of the Depression. A liquor company cannot own a restaurant because it would favor that restaurant. So the doctrine here is that a software company, Microsoft, that makes Xbox, cannot own the liquor, the so-called restaurant. They can't do it because they'll favor that restaurant. They'll favor their own restaurant.
The vertical integration opposed to horizontal.
Now, this is still the law of the land, as insane as it is, but the federal government has at times said, look, you can't own both because you'll favor your own product over someone
else. Well, that is the argument being made here is exactly that. Except that, of course, we also know Microsoft has reached out, for example, to Nintendo with a 10-year deal. They've been willing to offer the same thing to Sony.
So what's this?
Sony has been by far the single largest critic of the deal. And they were offered that same tenure for Call of Duty. They're not interested. Perhaps they want it in perpetuity. But again, you know, let me get to the second point here, because while we will talk a lot about this complaint, administrative law judge right now, by the way, Microsoft and Activision can close their deal. An administrative law judge does not have the power to actually enjoin the transaction. So they could close the deal prior to any hearing scheduled for August
2nd. Go ahead, say it.
But this is going to go at some point to a federal district court where they're going to try and seek an injunction to the government. But let me back up a bit before that and talk about what is cited as the single most important impediment to a potential transaction. And it's not the FTC. It is the UK. It is the CMA, their antitrust authority. That is where the focus is right now. That is where you will find people with the most questions.
Okay.
You know, here's a JP Morgan note this morning. We think the UK CMA is the biggest risk given their traditional opposition to behavioral remedies, and it's more difficult to appeal a UK CMA decision. We're going to get a sense from the CMA, I think, let's call it towards the end of January, in terms of their phase two findings. That should give us a real sense as to how they're coming out on the transaction. Not a lot at this point to really go on. They look at things different than we do in terms of their antitrust laws, opposed to what we look at. You can do a quick appeal, but as you just heard me read from JP Morgan, and it is true, there's a harder burden of proof there. So that is right now where at least the investment community is most focused in terms of a true impediment to this deal. Not this case, at least, we've got from the FTC. Not, by the way, the prospect of the EU, which most believe will maybe there'll be some remedies, but we'll say yes. And not even SAMR, the antitrust authority in China. It is the UK's CMA. Finally, Jim, let me just end on my points here that were this deal to break for whatever reason, perhaps opposition from the CMA, Perhaps you get to July 18th, and Bobby Kotick says, I'm not going to extend our merger agreement beyond the termination date. I'm going to take my $3 billion in reverse break and my break fee. I'm going to have the cash that I have on hand, and I'm going to go back to running this company. There are those who believe the downside here is fairly limited for Activision shares. Now, by the way, we'll see, because we've heard that argument many times in the past. And then often when a deal actually does collapse, you'll see the potential acquirer stock go down fairly significantly. Why do they believe that, though? $4.65 in EPS next year. You put an EA multiple on that and add back in what could be as much as $13 a share in cash if you add in the $3 billion termination fee. And they simply say, hey, you can get to a stock price that says at least 70, if not more. So that's where a lot of the invest community stands right now. Got a lot more to go here. Obviously, I don't want to make light of the government's action here, but many don't take it that seriously, given the lack of strength of the case that they've read in those 30 plus pages.
Well, my only problem is, again, but my consistent problem is that this government, this branch, this agency hates mergers and will go to great lengths, even twist doctrine in order to try to stop something. Even if they lose, what this does do is say to another company, you know what, look, this Microsoft deal, there was nothing wrong with this deal at all, and they rejected it. Your deal better have, it's like what she's basically saying, listen, unless you're a liquor company and you're buying a toy company, forget about it. I mean, there's just no, honestly. If there's any sort of synergy, it's no good.
Lena Khan does not believe in behavioral remedies, and this is intended to send a chilling effect to those who would consider undertaking these large kinds of transactions.
If you're Albertson and Kroger right now, just break it up.
Yeah, well, that's the DOJ. It's a DOJ review.
Well, right? No. Cantor is probably going to kick that to FTC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, an exclusive this morning with Lululemon's Calvin McDonald. Company's holiday quarter guidance weighing on the stock today, although a lot of the prints pretty good. We'll get to Docu and RH and Lulu and Cost and some calls this morning on Netflix, the casinos and coin. Don't go anywhere.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Here's just what I think an oddity. Lululemon reported third quarter last night, and it was a clear earnings beat. The stock, though, is down sharply on current quarter guidance, which some say, was below analysts' expectations. Joining us exclusively is Lululemon CEO Calvin McDonald. Calvin, let's start right now with the fact, how is holiday season going so we can get a real sense of what's happening?
Morning, Jim. As we've shared, we are tracking and monitoring our guest spending behaviors. And in Q3, we saw continual very strong response to traffic, to transactions of existing guests, of new guests, and very balanced growth across our men's and women's lines across North America and international. And that obviously drove our quarter results. And heading into Q4, we haven't seen any change in those guest metrics. I shared record-breaking Black Friday, Thanksgiving weekend sales, but there are some key trading weeks ahead and the guidance of 23 to 24% growth on a three-year CAGR really reflects sort of the quarter to come versus where we're sitting, which I'm very happy with where we're at from a quarter-to-date perspective.
All right, good. The expectations got very high. One of the things I thought was very interesting is your top line growth is trending in the high 20s, actually the high 20s. And it was a mid-teens annual target is what we were looking for. So is there not some misperception that somehow you have fallen down on the job when you're actually ahead of what you told us when you had your big conference?
As you mentioned, our Power of Three times two growth strategy, we're in the first year of that. We guided to a 15% CAGR through that period to double the business to $12.5 billion. And we achieved 27% three-year CAGR in the quarter, and we guided to 23-24% in Q4. So we're pleased where we sit. Our strategies are resonating. They're working. We put on 1.5 points of market share last quarter, the most we've ever put on in a quarter. The product continues to sell at full price. We guided to a markdown ratio equal to that of 2019 as we reset, and we achieve those numbers. So we have great pricing power, great momentum. The guests are resonating with the new product. Our traffic and new guest acquisitions are strong. So 1 year into our five-year growth plan, we're sitting in a very good position and have a lot of confidence in our business moving forward.
And I think it's important for others who are watching to note that nobody I follow in the retail business has these numbers or anywhere near them. Let me do some positive. I think international can double. I think men's can double. I think accessories can double. Those to me explain that you are not late in the game, but early in the game.
We agree. Actually, our Power of Three times two is to quadruple our international business. And I've shared before that as we look forward, you know, our international North American business can be 50% of the revenue of the company. Today, it represents 17%. We're having success in every market we're in. In Europe, we opened two stores in Spain, incredibly successful. Our Asia Pacific markets are all contributing, driving growth. There isn't a market we're in that isn't double-digit growth around the globe, and being driven through product, being driven through our community efforts, which connect us to our guests and our unique D2C model.
I want to be sure people understand, you point blank say here, mainland China playing a big part of that performance. You're not one of those people who's either abandoning China or being concerned about near-term issues, as I imagine.
Nope. We saw 70% growth on a three-year CAGR last quarter, and that is with stores and the teams being challenged with COVID outbreaks. So we're very confident in our business. We have great brand momentum in market and excited. We continue to invest, opening incredible stores and seeing success across both tier one, tier two cities and both physical and our .com channel. So it's exciting to see the momentum of the brand in the market. And it is a big part of us quadrupling our international over the next 5 years.
Mr. McDonald's, David Faber, in the near term, particularly in this holiday season, I'm just curious to get your senses to the consumer. Are they as strong as they have been? Are you a bit concerned, perhaps, that there is starting to be some weakness that's being shown?
Morning, David. We haven't seen any weakness with our consumer. We're well aware of the macro environment. We're well aware that many other retailers in the malls are heavily discounting. We have not. We don't see a need to. Regular price is driving our business. And as we look forward, what I would just call out versus last year, where we saw a lot of gift giving pulled forward into the quarter, it really started to just tick up over the Thanksgiving weekend. So that would suggest there's a lot of gift giving still to come. And that's what we're tracking and looking for. But on a quarter to date basis, our guest metrics remain very healthy. And I shared the Q3 ones, and there's no change in that behavior. But it is the gift giving in this quarter that's critical. And behavior is pushing it. It appears to be closer to the holiday than last year when the headlines were shop early.
Calvin, some on the street point out that Lulu has a history of guiding pretty conservatively in December and then raising in January. Any reason to think that pattern might be broken?
We're pleased where we're at from a quarter to date perspective, and feel the guidance of 23 to 24% under the circumstances of some of the topics we discussed is the appropriate and right guidance at this point. And the team's already in focus and we have the product. And what we've seen through the Thanksgiving weekend is the product continues to resonate, requiring new guests as well as our existing guests engaging with us. So we're excited about the holiday season, but there's some critical weeks still ahead for us.
Yeah, you know, and I know Jim asked you a bit about this, but, you know, some of the analysts being concerned about what they called higher inventory than they might have expected, and your CFO obviously defending that. Can you give our viewers a sense as to why they should not be concerned about, obviously, what was a growing inventory level at the company at this point?
No, for sure. Inventory came into where we guided, and we did say Q3 would be the high point of our inventory numbers. It's a combination of where our manufacturer partners were and their ability to fulfill our orders, a combination of managing ocean and air and trying to get ahead of that balance and costs on shipping. And on a three-year CAGR, it's up 38% on a unit basis on a growth of 27%. So we're definitely sitting we are sitting above our growth number, but with almost half of that inventory being core non-seasonal inventory, those investments, we believe, have helped fuel our demand. We're selling at full price and we're well positioned for the holiday heading into Q1. And we will start to now be able to work those inventory numbers down. But we don't see and haven't called out any concern or risk.
All right, Calvin, let me just ask Brian Norris a little about out left field. But I had an interview yesterday with Mark Benioff, and he talked about how his co-CEO, Bret Taylor, he did a great amount of work for, he was chairman of Twitter. Now, you are on the board of Disney. I know Disney just had a big change at the top. Is this the type of thing that just takes much more time from a good CEO from a good company than you can afford to spend?
I don't believe so at all. It's an opportunity to equally to share and to learn, which you can take back to your business, in my case, to Lululemon. So I'm very proud to sit on the Disney board and work with my peers there. And I am 100% focused working with our management team here at Lululemon. And I think the results indicate the strength of this team in a challenging environment. And when you look to our peer sets, we are succeeding through our Power of Three times two growth plan as a result of the strength of this team and the product innovation and how we're all applying creativity to how we're moving forward.
Excellent. Thank you, Calvin. It's great to talk to you. I agree with you. The stock went up and ahead. There's nothing wrong with this one. Good to see you, sir. Thank you for coming on Squawk on the Street.
Happy holidays.
Get one more look at futures here on this Friday before we get the opening bell in about 6 minutes. More Squawk on the Street when we come back.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Futures remain in the red after PPI comes a little warm. 10-year gets to 3.53 after the print. Not too far away from that level right now. We're still on pace for a fairly large weekly loss, even with Thursday's bounce. Opening bell coming up in a few minutes. Let's get to the opening bell this morning. Final one of the week. And the CNBC real-time exchange of the big board. It's Get Around, a car-sharing marketplace celebrating its listing via SPAC. And at the NASDAQ, it's the Miss America organization. So, Jim, with today's data, are you worried about CPI next week?
I'm less worried about CPI than I am worried about PPI, because we have, apropos perhaps of this company, we have used cars have come down a great deal, which is a very, very big part of what's happening. I don't have to worry about the services line. I do think that we keep hearing that eating at home has gotten a little bit less expensive. Obviously, gasoline, terrific. So, no, I'm not sweating the program CPI. As a matter of fact, well, David, I want to turn to you because of the Sunday night football aspects of what I'm hearing, meaning I can't hear you at all.
Yeah, the hearing gets tough. Each year that goes by, for some reason, it gets tougher for me. I'm not quite sure why that is.
Well, it's the 12th man. It's the 12th man situation.
It is the 12th man situation.
Maybe we can just do that thing with the leg on the snap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
On visual cue.
Right, let's do silent cow.
It's our quarterback. We're listening for Omaha.
Well, you mentioned used cars, Jim. Got another downgrade of Carvana today.
Yeah, what's
Needham
the day without
goes
it?
To hold. Adam Jonas yesterday saying that the Manheim Index, which you looked at earlier, the
yes.
week, you could have 20% declines in used cars next year.
Used cars are incredible, and I think people have to recognize that Carvana is a giant force in used car. Giant. So, I mean, you're going to have a lot of used cars around. Now, David Hertz uses Carvana as a place to be able to trade cars.
To sell their old cars.
So there are, right. This is something that had been the bane of the CPI existence was the fact that you couldn't buy a new car, so used cars went through any price we've ever seen. Now we're back to August 2021, not down enough, but the trend is clear. So if you're a pal, you do 50, not 75.
Because of Carvana?
No. No. Not because of Carvana.
How about maybe oil, right? That's B of A this morning.
Thank
oil
you.
Crashing means it's 50, 25, yeah. Zero.
See, David, there's this thing I'm going to demonstrate.
Uh-oh. Standing up,
yeah.
Carl.
Okay.
This is trouble.
So, first of all, depends on the side, okay? For mine, it's the left side. You pull up this thing, it's called a pump. You pick this up. This is amazing. It smells like gasoline. And then you look, and it says 335. But then you say, I don't want regular. I'm going
this.
What my father used to call high test. I cook premium. It's 365. And I say to myself, that was $5 not that long ago. This thing's come down in price.
Yes.
That's what happens in America.
Got it.
Okay.
I will make sure to think about that.
And you can top it off. That's something that people do.
Well,
they top it off.
How about JPM yesterday, Kalanovic saying, sell oil here and buy it 30% lower?
I read that, and there is some truth to the idea that Russia is going to flood. The United States is going to look the other way, and it is good for Europe. And that Europe will actually get all the oil at once. So I think there's some truth to that. And I don't want that. Yeah, sorry, because my Chapel Trust has a decent percentage of oil, but I think that thesis is a good thesis.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's talking about oil outright and anything surrounding oil.
Well, I just think that there might have been some sort of compromise between our country and Europe that said, look, we'll let you, we're going to look the other way here. Because the Ukraine war was going to send oil up during the winter. I keep hearing, I know that we're not sending a lot of the weapons we could to Ukraine, but we do want to keep Europe as part of the coalition and not decide, we need a separate peace. A separate peace, David, because of the price of oil would just be, it's not Munich, but it would be a repugnant way to be able to end this war.
It would.
To pressure Ukraine because of higher prices at the pump. I just demonstrated, by the way, the whole pump situation.
I know you did. Now I'm.
Use,
I thank you for doing that because I was unaware.
It looks like it's cheap, but it's liters.
Yes, in Europe it's liters. Europe overall energy costs are a lot higher, whether it's filling
yes,
up your
are.
Car or whether it's powering your home or a factory.
Right.
Far higher. We've talked a great deal about that, and it's still early in the winter. We haven't really even begun.
How
so
sunny
we'll see.
Is it in Germany?
Not sunny enough sometimes, or
right.
not windy enough. That actually is
it
even
is.
More
Germany
of a concern sometimes
have the
when you're not getting that
country.
North Sea wind sometimes to power some of these wind turbines.
But what do you think about the idea that we would sell out, that the West would sell out Ukraine for cheap oil if it weren't for, some...
Well, we haven't done it yet, have we?
No, I think we've made a deal. I said, well, you can look the other way. We're going to look the other way. You can go get all your oil. You stick with us in the coalition.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying we're worried about the coalition staying together.
Right.
During the winter months.
Do you think that cheaper gas can make the environment brighter than Gary Friedman appears to think it is over at RH?
I felt so horrible after I finished the RH that I told my wife, why are we buying all this stuff from RH? I mean, it sounds like it's going to come down in price. And I think Gary is an emotional executive who's excellent. But he made me feel very, very down. It was not unlike a large bank, I'm not going to mention the name, which also felt that things were bad. He said, widespread discounting continues across our industry. He gets 2 sale emails per day from promotions. Business trends will continue to deteriorate. I've never been more uncertain about the present.
Wow.
David?
Never.
I was going to order stuff, and I said, you know what? Maybe I should wait.
He is always or often outspoken on the conference call, Mr. Friedman. But to hear him say, I've never been more uncertain?
I thought that was... I was wondering whether that was hyperbole.
Is he forgetting how uncertain he's been in the past? Because I can remember him saying somewhat similar things.
I remember when he used to have a piano sonata going on and I wanted to buy the heck out of this stuff. Mm. But this makes you think, well, wait a second. Maybe he, I mean, this is really the problem. I'm not being facetious. I read that and I called Lisa. I said, maybe there's going to be some discounts if we just hold on.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that can build. And I don't want that. I don't want that because I think that it's not the worst time. And that unless Gary's business is specifically falling off a cliff, which it does not seem like, I don't know if that language is supportive of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. DocuSign? You guys, I'm sure you have seen it.
Not, it's better than fear. BTF, Dave.
It's a lot better
just,
than fear.
It's just BTF. No, it's not LBTF.
No,
it's just BTF.
But I point it out because, of course, we've often talked about DocuSign being a pandemic play, being down 70%+. But this morning, the stock is up substantially.
New CEO.
I guess third quarter billings were up 17% versus consensus
and
of
4%. They have new products coming. I've checked in with them. They've got some new things coming. So it's not... It's not one and done. There's some more things coming there.
Well, you said earlier this week on MAD that you thought Chewy and Docu had spent enough time in purgatory.
Yes, and Chewy, I know Chewy's down, but Chewy, I thought, had a very good conference call. And there's just no end to this brilliant strategy they have with Lemonade for insurance. You know, pets, when you have something wrong with a pet, and David, you have a pet.
I do.
Holy cow.
We all do.
You need healthcare insurance. I mean, you need like United Health for pets, and they have got a very good health care plan.
My dog has better health insurance than we do.
Well, how your dog, what do you get, crowns?
Oh, I mean, they'll actually pay something occasionally.
Yeah, I love it when you rail the house insurance policies.
I'm sorry. I wish I didn't have to.
No, you're right. I mean, the operations for animals, of which you'd pay any price for because they're yours,
yeah,
are very expensive.
They are.
And that's why I think Chewy is correct in teaming up with a healthcare provider to give it so that you have more reasonable insurance, because people who have pets need to have pet insurance, or else you're going to spend $3,000 on an operation at the University of Pennsylvania.
Is that where you'd send your
absolutely
your friend?
Yeah. I would not go to New York for an operation for a pet. I would go right to Hub.
University. It's known for its...
is known. The veterinary schools there are the best in the country.
I'm learning things every day here at this desk.
You want to go in the best.
Why show up?
I mean, what, you're going to like, hey, just... You would not check it around
before? I would do anything for Scoop. Whatever he needs.
Well, then it's Hub.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, knock wood. I don't want him to have to go to Hub.
Infinite elasticity when it comes to pets.
I don't want him to have to go to him.
No, right? No. He's doing well. He's great.
All right, well...
Strong. He's a strong six.
I feel so good.
Costco, 2-month low.
All right. Now, Rich Galanti, who is the CFO, tells a tale where he basically says it's not if you're going to get the special dividend, it's when. There's some people who are nitpicking and talking about his e-commerce not doing that well. I come out and say everybody who is a merchant should be jealous of what you heard on Costco last night. I mean, he had to downsize his fleet. Remember, he had a fleet of that hurt his numbers.
Yes.
He had a fleet of container ships, but they did save $1,000 to $2,000 per containers for 50,000 containers, adding 24 new stores. The gasoline business is not as good because gasoline's come down in price, hence why I don't mind the CPI. And I have to tell you that this is a situation where the U.S. traffic is extraordinary, and you sell this one at your own peril. My charitable trust does own it, and I felt terrifically about the call. Terrific. Anybody who knows Costco knows that Rich Galanti, who is really one of the best CFOs, if not the best CFO in the country, would signal if things were weaker. TVs are the only thing that I heard that I was worried about. They're still being bought, but in smaller sizes. That's the only thing I heard that made me feel at all suspect about the consumer. At all.
We didn't hear it from Calvin McDonald. He continued to say this consumer is strong and is right into this holiday season, starting to see the gift-giving building.
That stock's down. I mean, look, people
Lulu
are just,
is down about 7%. Of course, well, we were just joined by Mr. McDonald.
But now his stock had run big, Mr. McDonald. Costco's already down. My Chapel Trust did sell some higher. I hated that. We've owned it forever, and I sold some. But I just said, I think it's just going to go down because the November numbers weren't that good. But at a certain point, if you don't own Costco and you're a member of Costco, you know that it just gets better and better. And they're holding the line on chickens, David. They're holding the line on chickens.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, Mr. McDonald says Lulu's holding the line on price. Take a listen.
We have great pricing power, great momentum. The guests are resonating with the new product. Our traffic and new guest acquisitions are strong. So 1 year into our five-year growth plan, we're sitting in a very good position and have a lot of confidence in our business moving forward.
There you had it.
Well, I just think the stock's down. You know, people are very downbeat. I think people feel, well, wait a second, if everybody's doing badly, how could Lulu be doing well? If everybody's doing badly, how could Costco be doing well? I think we're talking about better operators. You can sell the stock. The stocks are expensive. But in the end, you're going to want to come back, in part because these people do it better. They are just better at what they do. It's okay. And they have a longer runway. The international runway here is extraordinary.
Well, we do have some betting on, say, Bed Bath, right? A little third point action there. Stock has not quite topped out earlier highs in the past few days.
Well, Bed Bath, I think, problematic situation.
I'm sorry, I meant Bath & Body.
Oh, yeah, the, you know, a little saber rattling there doesn't bet. That company's not that bad. The last numbers weren't that bad. Costco
Bath
does
and Body Works, right.
Yeah. I'm looking at Helene Meiser, one of my favorite technicians, who's saying that Costco has to hold right here. I follow her on Twitter, so let's see if it does hold.
Guys, it's been a while since we mentioned SPACs. We used to do our SPAC data, all that on Fridays.
Do you have, like, a video?
Well, no, we should point out that this company that just went public, de-SPAC'd here at the New York Stock Exchange, GETR. Thank you. It's been so long. 94% redemptions. The new symbol is GETR, and they're celebrating here, but it's not a particularly great debut. Stock's down 66%.
Actually, can you explain that to people so people
no,
understand?
No, excuse me. It's down 80. No, wait. Now it's down, 67%.
Can you explain to people how that's possible? Because they are looking around, they're hearing lots of people, and they're thinking there's a great excitement. How are people doing if they bought it?
Well, it's one of the, we've talked a lot about this dynamic where you get a deal approved, at the same time you have a huge number of people who redeem, want their $10
right.
back.
So again,
obviously getting your $10 back here was a smart move. You're talking about a $3 stock, down almost $6. I don't know if we have it for people to show. So that was the smart move at this point. Although we have occasionally seen strange situations where, in fact, because there are so few shares actually outstanding, you get an enormous short squeeze in the
right.
stock for
That's,
a brief period
Getty.
Of time.
And Grindr.
And Grindr. That is not occurring here. You've simply got a significant fall in the stock price. Rental car, I don't even want to, I haven't looked closely at the business model, I have to admit, Jim, so.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that, but we did want to mention that the stock is down sharply. Apparently, we don't have it to show people.
I feel badly. I mean, when Getty's a very good company. I remember from its first iteration, it spiked to 30, and there were people who say, well, I got to get on this. This thing's going to the moon. And then they just lost everything. And
what we're seeing in SPAC land is that there are still deals that are de-SPACing. In other words, they found their sponsor, they've gone through the process, and they are coming public or on their own once they've de-SPACed. But we are also seeing many SPACs give up the hunt and just return the money. That is happening a lot more. Don't have the updated data for you. Oh, we'll get it at some point. We'll share a lot of it. But because there's just not a lot of opportunity seen out there. And by the way, people don't want to end up with something like that.
Yes. Now, David, is there enough money? Because Gina Francola shared with me our set of systems.
Yeah.
David, the sheer amount of money that is in SPACs that is coming back to people, actually, I thought might actually kind of hit the needle.
That's an interesting question. I mean, you could make an argument that those who invested in SPACs that are then returning the capital actually did fine. In a market that's down, whatever we're down, The S&P 16.7%.
Right, they did do.
You came out even.
That's a great point. That's a really great point. Better than they did in their checking account.
Yes. So
that's a very good point.
There is that, but whether that money will end up back in the market, I think we'll see.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, could it go back in the market? I think that the market needs a shot in the arm, Carl.
We've talked about it being forced savings in a sense.
Yes.
For the better
savings.
Part of
that's great
2 years.
Yeah. Great term.
We got green after futures did take that spill. S&P up 4 points. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Morning, guys. Happy Friday. This is really quite a victory for the bulls. We dropped 60 points on the S&P initially at 8:30 Eastern time when the PPI came out a little bit hotter than expected. Now, we were up prior to this, but again, this is really quite remarkable. Let's take a look at the sectors. A couple things I want to point out. We're seeing metals again on the upside, some of the reverberation of the China trade. Industrials are okay. Energy is flat today, but that's kind of remarkable even then. And semiconductors are positive. So sort of growth sectors, risk on, like metals and mining and semiconductors are up. I want to show you energy stocks. We're flat on energy, but some of the big names, the higher beta names, were generally trading up at the open, like APA, EOG. Halliburton was also up, is flat now, and Marathon. This is rather remarkable here when you consider the fact that oil is sitting near the lows for the year. Energy stocks are not really buckling at all. They're off of their highs, but they're not even close to really buckling. Just let me show you the chart here. This is what's very strange about this. So there's the orange is oil prices, and the bottom is energy stocks. And beginning in the middle of October, they have diverged. Now, they don't necessarily always move one for one on a daily basis, but they tend to move in the same direction. This is a little strange, the divergence with oil. That's the white line. I'm sorry. Oil is moving to the downside so dramatically, and energy stocks holding up so well. So it's easy to say somebody's wrong. Remember, though, oil reflects near term. This is a contract that is the near term oil price contract, whereas energy stocks reflect the opinions of investors 6 to 12 months out. So they don't necessarily diverge on the time horizon. Investors in energy stocks believe that oil is going to hold up better and maybe even be up more next year. They may be wrong, but they're not these two are not necessarily divergent in their opinion. As for where the markets are right now, again, this remarkable turnaround. Remember what the story is here for the bulls. Inflation is high but trending down. That's the key story, and I think why we are holding up so well today. That story is predominant. Inflation was the 2022 story, and the extent of the recession is the 2023 story. Now, the problem today and for the last few weeks is that the earnings numbers are all over the place of what's going to happen on 2023, and it depends on where you are on that recession story. So Bloomberg had a story out this morning, 134 fund managers. They're expecting earnings to be up 10% next year. Heavens, that is really optimistic. Most of the strategists are flat to down now. So here's the Q4. It's already down slightly, but Q1 2023, Q2, let's call that fairly flattish at this point, given the range that you could possibly have. But if you look at BlackRock, they just had their earnings outlook today. I think they're much more reflective of the typical strategist. We find that earnings expectations don't yet price in even a mild recession. We do expect to turn more positive on risk assets at some point in 2023, but we are not there yet. So there's the question, Carl. Where are you on that? In a real notable recession, earnings would typically decline 10 to 20%. Right now, expectations up about 4%. Big divergence of opinions. Carl, back to you.
Indeed, Bob. Thanks, Bob Pisani. As we go to break this morning, let's take a look at bonds. Obviously, yields did spike a bit on PPI this morning, got to 3.53 or so on the 10-year. Currently around similar levels. Of course, the granddaddy is going to come next week when we get CPI. In and out of the green to start this session. Dow's down 40. Early possibility of an inside day for the NASDAQ 100, down about 30 points. Some of the laggards for the week so far, led by Lucid. Elon Musk tweeting a bit earlier that the company's, quote, not long for this world. Followed by Lulu. Of course, we talked to Calvin McDonald a few moments ago. Dow's down 86. Back in a minute.
The third thing we saw in the third quarter was a more measured environment, and we realized that CEOs are kind of buckling down. They kind of saw there's a storm ahead, they're not sure, the stocks are down. You know, we're not the only stock down, the market is down.
That's Benioff with Jim last night. Jim, you said you were going to look for answers.
Well, I felt very good about him. I think that we asked every tough question you could ask, and I felt better. Stock's down 50%. Stock shows the lowest multiple that I've seen. Buyback. There are many forces in the, I'd say, the long knives are out because of the changes. Mark said he's there to stay, there to run it. I think it's a buy. I'm telling people from my Chapel Trust, same thing.
No co-CEOs seen in the future?
No, just going to be him. A lot of stocks are down that are doing quite well for now.
Good week. We did some good work.
Wild week.
We'll see you tonight. Week.
Okay.
Mad Money, 6 p.m., of course. When we come back, Roger McNamee, some reaction to that FTC suit to block Microsoft Activision. When we return.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.